The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and other media are reporting that the U.S. and China are closer to an agreement on trade. They're citing anonymous sources briefed on the matter. Last week, the Trump administration waived its deadline for imposing additional tariffs on China. But talks over the weekend could mean a reduction in tariffs by both countries to pre-trade dispute levels. The new signals relief for many affected Georgia industries. And here to talk about what it could mean for the state's economy is Jeffrey Dorfman. He's professor of agriculture and applied economics at the University of Georgia and director of UGA's Land Use Studies Initiative, joining us now on the line from WUGA Studios in Athens. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And Vivian Yue is an associate professor of economics at Emory University. She's also a research associate for the National Bureau of Economic Research, and she's with me in the studio. Vivian, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Vivian, this is not a final pact yet, but where did the U.S. and China get to over the weekend?
So we have got some source information saying that the China and the U.S. are in the final stage of completing the trade deal.
Mm-hmm. So are they saying that they could lift all or most U.S. tariffs, or what are the contingencies here?
So what we know is that China is offering to lower tariffs on American agricultural goods, chemical, auto, and other products, and also remove some restrictions. And Washington is considering removing most, if not all, sanctions against China.
So what are the contingencies here? Intellectual property rights had been a big source of trouble. What's happening there? Do we know?
So we don't know much yet. What we know is that the provision on strengthening the intellectual property rights is pretty complicated and still under negotiation.
Yeah, so obviously this is not finished. But Georgia farmers, of course, might be breathing a sigh of relief today. If information leaked to these news organizations is correct, China would lift all tariffs on U.S. agricultural goods. Jeffrey, how important would that outcome be?
It is quite important to the income levels of Georgia farmers. In the United States, we export about 25% of all our agricultural production. And China is a very important market for us nationally, and for Georgia specifically, we do send them cotton and soybeans and pecans.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that poultry products were exempt from this tariff deal from the beginning.
So China is not accepting any poultry products from the United States now over worries about avian flu. We're certainly hoping that as part of China's pledge to buy $30 billion a year and more in agricultural products, that they might remove that blockade on our poultry and start buying some of our poultry products.
Mm-hmm. And what was the effect of the tariffs for Georgia farmers in general? We've spoken to some who said, you know, a pecan farmer said, I have no orders on the books this season.
Yeah, pecan farmers in particular were hard hit because there isn't any other buyer on the scale of China that they can sell to instead. And we lost about half our pecan crop this year thanks to Hurricane Michael. And normally what would have happened is Georgia farmers would have had half the pecans to sell, but price would have gone up to help compensate for those losses. Instead, because we lost the Chinese market, prices for pecans have stayed about exactly where they normally are. And so farmers took about a 50% income hit thanks to this trade war with China.
If China did eliminate all tariffs on U.S. agricultural goods, would that be a victory, Jeffrey, or just a reset to what was in place before the trade tensions escalated?
There were some agricultural tariffs before this trade war escalated. So if they actually didn't just go back to the previous status quo, but got rid of all tariffs, it would be a win for American farmers.
Now, you mentioned that pecan farmers especially hard hit, but once you don't— you're out of the supply chain, for example, if China is buying pecans from someplace else, from Brazil, for example. What happens once you're out of the supply chain? How do you get back in?
Sure, that can be difficult, and there are worries about that with some of our products. But luckily, particularly for pecans, China is such a big part of the worldwide demand that they really can't fill their orders from someplace else easily. And so we're pretty confident they will come back to our farmers for pecans. and probably for soybeans when this is over.
I'm going to stay on agriculture for a minute with you, Jeffrey. The federal government allocated about $12 billion in relief funds for farmers affected by trade tensions. Georgia cotton farmers seeing some relief. But Jeffrey, have those dollars offset the blow to Georgia agriculture?
No, for Georgia agriculture, they have not. Almost all of the money set designated for trade relief went to people who grow soybeans. And that's not a huge crop here in Georgia, although we do grow some. So our farmers that grow cotton and pecans definitely were not made whole by the trade.
Vivian, the other industry caught up in the retaliatory tariffs is manufacturing. Kia plant in West Point, Georgia, employs some 14,000 workers. Lockheed Martin in Cobb County saw prices on their raw materials go up when tariffs announced on steel and aluminum imports last summer. Not just China, but Europe and Canada. How have they been affected?
Yeah, so exactly. So when this trade war started, we see that importers are affected, and 40% of the U.S. imports from China actually are parts, components, and all these intermediate goods and raw materials. With the cost of these products, these materials high-rocking and increase, that cuts the firm's competitiveness and therefore affects the employment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have people been fired? Do we know that? I'm maybe asking you something that's beyond your ken.
Sorry, I don't have the exact number, but just looking at the bright side, if a trade deal is reached, I'm sure all these companies and also automaking industries, food processing industries, all these industries which play a major role here in Georgia's economy will benefit to a great extent.
Right, auto industries and food processing. But how about, the big headquarters? Mercedes-Benz and Porsche have headquarters in Atlanta. French automaker group, PSA, opening a home here also. How have these companies fared under this double whammy with trade disputes over both metal parts and cars themselves?
Yeah, so I think auto industry definitely is a very important part of this trade deal agreement. So I think China now is offering to speed up the timetable to remove foreign ownership limitations on car ventures and reduce the tariffs on imported vehicles to below the current tariff level of 15%. So all these companies, they will benefit.
And they could be selling cars in China in a way that they haven't in the past.
Exactly.
So you said this looks good. If the leaked deal works out, what would it actually mean for Georgia Car and other manufacturing companies? Just sales go up, that they are, continue to operate, or just the threat is removed?
One thing for sure is that over the past years, there has been this great uncertainty about this trade war, trade tension that will hurt the business. So if that uncertainty is removed, that's good. So in terms of the potential increasing in the market share in China, I don't have the exact number, but I hope the firms operating in Georgia will get a good share.
So not just returning to status quo, but actually making some more money out of this. Well, of course, Vivian, Georgia's economy also made up for some big Fortune 500 and multinational companies. How will some of these big businesses be affected by the deal?
The other thing, I think all these big companies, and one thing I want to say is that Georgia also plays a big role in transportation, distribution, logistics. We know these companies, they have their headquarters here. Mm-hmm. And they are impacted by the international trade a lot.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of companies are you talking about?
I'm talking about like UPS, mm-hmm. Delta, and these companies. And also the ports, right? Ports in Georgia. So a lot of exports and imports, they go through the ports here we have in the state. So during the trade tension, the exports actually is hurt and the imports are hurt. So when there is a trade agreement, so I think Georgia's economy will benefit.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about how that is going to affect the market, but we are up against a break. And we're talking about what a possible U.S. China trade deal would mean for Georgia's farming manufacturing sectors. With Vivian Yue, she's from Emory University, and Jeffrey Dorman is with us from UGA. He's professor of agriculture and applied economics. Let's see. We've got just a minute before the break. What are you thinking, Jeffrey? What are you hearing so far? This is relatively recent news. Are Georgia farmers already celebrating?
Georgia farmers are definitely not celebrating yet. We want the trade deal to be done. We want to see the president sign it, and then we'll start to believe it. And they're also still desperately waiting in hopes that Congress is going to pass disaster relief from Hurricane Michael. Money they've been sort of promised for months, but still hasn't been approved by Congress.
Well, we'll get to that after just a short break. Be right back with more of On Second Thought, the effect of the possible trade deal on Georgia manufacturing and all of our economy. This is On Second Thought. Stay with us. I'm Virginia Prescott. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott, back with the conversation about what a possible U.S.-China trade deal could mean for Georgia's farming manufacturing sectors, among others. Vivian Yue is with us from Emory University. Jeffrey Dorfman from UGA, where he's professor of agriculture and applied economics. Well, the news here is that the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, other media reporting that the U.S. and China are closer to an agreement on trade. They are citing anonymous sources briefed on the matter over the weekend. So, of course, information about a possible trade deal has been leaked to the media. U.S. markets just opening, but overseas ones have been trading. So if the purpose of the leak is to help the stock market, Vivian, is it working?
So the U.S., the market for, we see that in Hang Seng stock market in Hong Kong, it has been opening ends high. And
she's also getting real-time results from your phone here.
Yes. Yeah, so and we'll see very soon how the U.S. market will respond.
Well, some pundits have said that the president is trying to put a positive spin on these talks to keep financial markets stable. What could happen if the uncertainty continues to the markets and the currencies, if we're not sure?
Well, the market doesn't like uncertainty, so that's why everyone is watching very anxiously about where the trade deal is going. And I want to say something about currency. So here, one part that the U.S. is asking China to do is to, part of the deal we know is that U.S. is pushing China to keep renminbi stable against the U.S. dollar. So I think that's something China, we'll see how China will respond to this request. So
I'm also seeing reports that it may be difficult for China to sell this deal back home and maybe for President Trump to sell this deal. But from a Chinese perspective, what is President Xi looking for and what does he want to tell his public?
Yeah, exactly. I think actually for both countries, they may both presidents may face some pressure from domestic. So here, we have know that there is some nationalist sentiment in China, mm-hmm. especially after the rest of Meng Wanzhou from Huawei. And now, if U.S. is asking China to do something on the currency, well, China has depreciated its currency against the U.S. dollars quite a bit, from 2005 to 2013. And after that, China started some more market-determined exchange rate policy to gain more flexibility. So now, right now, if U.S. wants to ask China to step back and to put more heavy hand on renminbi, it probably will be hard to get agreement. We will see. And also, renminbi is not, I have done some research on this, renminbi is not just a pact against dollar anymore. China tries to gain some flexibility as well, some stability against a basket of currency. So I think this will be condition that's pretty hard to sell in within China.
Yeah, I can understand. But how about here, Jeffrey, in the U.S., there are those, among them, Senator Johnny Isaacson, who voted to push for a trade agreement and end the trade war. What kind of national pressure is coming on the president from people like the ag interests in Georgia?
I think there's a lot of pressure. Republicans in general like free trade and like to let businesses get about their business, and so have not enjoyed supporting President Trump on his trade restrictions and tariffs as a negotiating tool. So I think the Republican Party, I think the sort of Chamber of Commerce, and I think farmers all across America are really hoping to see some settlements soon and get back to trading, or, you know, either as we were before or under better conditions.
Well, what is going to happen immediately, we don't know, of course, is going to be a meeting planned between the president, President Trump, and Chinese President Xi Jinping later this month at Mar-a-Lago. If a deal is reached, Jeffrey, would things just go back to normal?
It's a fascinating question. China has supposedly offered to buy $30 billion a year more in agricultural products. And it's actually rather hard to try and identify what that $30 billion a year would be. There aren't that many extra soybeans, pecans, peanuts. So are they going to buy more cotton? Are they going to reopen their markets to poultry products? You know, exactly how do they plan to keep this promise is something that nobody's been able to figure out yet.
There are a couple of schools of thought on benefits of tariffs, but as proposed, you know, you improve the domestic economy when international goods are more expensive, increases demand for domestic goods, hopefully creates more jobs. Jeffrey, what have we seen here in this trade dispute that really began about 8 months ago?
Well, what we see in all trade disputes is not that it increases domestic jobs. It actually hurts the domestic economy. You protect jobs in a favored industry, but you lose more jobs in the rest of the industry. So we, for example, protected some steelworker jobs, but lost more auto worker jobs than steel worker jobs were saved, because automakers use steel to make cars. And by making steel more expensive, meant that they could sell fewer cars and therefore made fewer cars. So we know we're losing from this trade war. The question is whether it's worth those short-term losses to get some long-term gains. And we won't know until we see what the deal is, and then whether the parties stick to the deal through the future years.
So that is all a projection yet to be answered, but we've talked to several farmers or people in industry here in Georgia who said, you know, we're just going to wait it out and trust. But how about economists on who pays for tariffs? You know, exporters cut prices on goods. Does that make they make them less expensive so consumers pay less, or consumers end up paying increased costs? Any data on who really bore the brunt of this?
There is. There's actually a couple of studies just out today, in fact, that I heard about that show that almost the entirety, if not the entirety, of the tariff costs were paid by American consumers, not by the Chinese exporters. So we never know in advance exactly who's going to get stuck with the bill, but it appears that at least in this case, it was the American consumer.
Okay, so either view. How is the instability from these trade talks perhaps impacting trade relationships with other countries?
Well, one thing is, I know, as part of the discussion, China also offers to, you know, buy more of the U.S. goods, but you know, one where all these imports to China should come from. So before that will be impacted the trade relationship with the other countries, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Jeffrey, if you're, you know, if you were negotiating with China right now, what would you try to secure for industries and workers in Georgia?
I think we should be worried about the barriers for foreign investment in China, and about trying to make sure they don't use non-tariff barriers, so, for example, blocking our poultry products because of claims they're worried about avian flu when there's more of it there than there is here, for example. So we just want open markets, a fair shot at a deal, and we're convinced that American farmers and American manufacturers can compete with anybody if we're given that fair chance.
Jeffrey Dorfman, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Happy to have been on with you.
Jeffrey Dorfman, he's professor of agriculture and applied economics at the University of Georgia, and Vivian Yuan, she is associate professor of economics at Emory University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.